to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
We ask you, Lord, to help us to not look so much at others as look at ourselves this morning. And Father, I feel like when they sat in the upper room that night, is it I, Lord? Is it I? I ask you, Lord, that we would all examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith and to know it beyond all doubt, that we would know that we have eternal life. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a great amen. Look at somebody, say, do you love me? Just ask them, do you love me? I'm just asking, you know, I just want to know that. Do you love me? You can be seated today. The Bible says that Peter was grieved when Jesus asked him a third time. And I believe that it brought back the memory. Not so much. I don't know if Peter counted how many times he denied the Lord that night. But he had to remember it because the Lord had already told him how many times he was going to deny him or betray him. In fact, look at Matthew chapter 26, and he says that to him a little bit early. He says, and Peter answered, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now, notice what the Lord said. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And in fact, that's exactly what occurred. In Luke chapter 22, listen what's said. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And a servant girl seeing him said in the light, looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. You ever had anybody looking at you and you knew? You ever had that happen to you? Hey, I ask you a question. You ever had that happen to you? Well, you know, I had that one time. We were on a plane from Germany heading back home. We come out of Frankfurt and we were flying on. And there was these people over in this mill row leaning over looking at me. Well, you know, I thought I was maybe good looking, or they said, you know, there's not another guy like that. But they just kept looking at me. And finally, one of them came over and said, did you grow up in Chilhowie, Virginia? Town of one stoplight, you know. They were from Chilhowie, Virginia, and remembered me because they were very memorable in my high school years. It was not for good. And yeah, that's where I grew up. And they were from Chilhowie, Virginia, on a plane from Frankfurt, Germany. But this woman, this little girl, was looking at him, and he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. Peter went out and wept bitterly, the next verse says. Now get this. He's at that breakfast, and Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he was grieved because the Lord asked him the third time. And I believe it was because it brought him. Peter had betrayed the Lord that night. In fact, one of the Gospels says that Peter had even called a curse down upon him. You know, if I'm lying, let me be cursed. I don't know who he is. And in that setting, Jesus is so close, he can hear what Peter is saying. And the Bible says when he betrayed him the third time, the rooster crows, and Jesus turns and looks straight eyeball to eyeball with Peter. And Peter suddenly is in company that he wished he was not. Because of that night, there were two betrayers of the Lord. In fact, during those few hours of when he had been in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he had before that had done the Lord's Supper, instituted, and then before the Lord's Supper, they'd taken Passover together. And there had been another betrayer in the midst of them. And now here's Peter, becoming the company of a betrayer, one that though he had boasted that he would never, he began to do that. There were two betrayers. In fact, that night became known through the decades of the early church as the night Jesus was betrayed. In fact, when you study church history, you find out that that night became known as the night that he was betrayed. Not the night of the Garden of Gethsemane, but it became known as the night in which he was betrayed. And here is Peter beginning all that he promised. He's standing there saying, I will never forsake you. I will never deny you. I will never betray you. And then in the midst of the pressure of that night, the pressure of survival, the Bible says he betrays the Lord Jesus. But he was not the only one. In fact, look what Paul did in 1 Corinthians 11, which we'll use today at the end when we're about to do communion. This is decades later that Paul writes this. It's been almost 25 years since the night that Jesus was bound by those Romans and by the intent of the Jews, and the night that Peter betrayed him. It's been almost 25 years. And I want you to notice, because Paul did not receive this from other believers. Paul did not go to Jerusalem and under Peter, James, and John. He did not gain his knowledge about the Lord, nor did he gain the knowledge of what happened that night. The Bible says when Paul was saved that he had been such an instrument against the church that they were afraid to have him in the church. And finally, when they accepted him, he caused such a ruckus that they had to get him out of town. And he went into the Arabian desert, and there for 2 to 3 years, he was taught of the Lord himself. 25 years after the fact. And I want you to listen now. I want you to get, here is the Lord's teaching to Paul. And I want you to notice how the Lord himself characterized that night. Listen, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, that he took bread. I want you to grasp that, because there was a wound, there was an incident that night was known throughout early church history as the night that he was betrayed. Here's Paul, 25 years after the fact, still calling that night the night that he was betrayed. Paul begins, he says, the night he said, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Same way he took the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. And I want you to notice, because what happened was this. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Paul wrote this in the night, and he says, the night that he was betrayed. Look at John chapter 13. Listen what it says. He says, when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garments and resumed his place and said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? Next scripture. Go ahead. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you, for I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate bread has lifted his heel against me. In this setting, he's talking none other than Judas. And look at verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled. Everybody say troubled in spirit. Now, if you stopped reading right there, you would think, well, of course he's troubled in spirit. He's facing Gethsemane. He's facing the ultimate price. He's facing the cross. He's facing a scourging. He's facing his father turning his face away from him and crying out, my God, why have you... He knew all of that. And so when I read that, sometimes I said, well, of course he was troubled in spirit. But when I read what it says next, I grasp the understanding that all of that for the moment took a back seat to the betrayal of a friend. Because his trouble in his spirit at this moment is defined in what caused. He says, after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And he went beyond just all the pressure, all of that was there. But for the moment, my Bible says the troubling in his, the hurt, the heartache within him was because of a betrayal of a close friend. John's account of the story and all these things seem to take a back seat, as I said, to this one detail. Someone was going to betray him. And as I said, it became known for decades as the night that he was betrayed. Judas Iscariot, the other betrayer of that night, literally sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. No one names their baby out of the bag. And the Bible says, and he, listen, all the teachings Jesus did on the unjust steward, all the teachings he did on the story about the fight over the inheritance, all the stories about your conscience and keeping it clear, all the parables against greed, all the parables against the love of money. And he even told him one time, he told the whole group, one of you is a devil. I've chosen you, but one of you is a devil. All those things go over his head. He's sitting there one by one. He began to get John 12. Look at this. John 12 in verse 3. It seems to be the breaking point. So they gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Everybody say reclining. That's important. You'll understand what that means. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this. Now here is John writing from years looking back and understanding at the moment he didn't know. But from his perspective of looking back, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a what? And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jasmine learned it. My mom and dad came with us in a few days. She learned a new word, pilfer. Everybody say pilfer. That's a grandma word. We used to, how many ever pilfered in your life? We used to go to my grandmother's house and we used to pilfer all through her drawers. We pilfer. And the old King James says he pilfered from the bag. He helped himself to what was put into it. He stole from the Lord's money. Jesus says, leave her alone that she may keep it for the day of my burial, is what he told him. A mild rebuke. But I want you to notice this. Judas is doing this. It's an act of shocking extravagance. The amount that was literally equal to a year's wage. That's what that pound of ointment was worth. It was a denier was worth, a day's wage. And there was 300, excluding holidays and weekends. It was what she did. She poured out a year's wage on his feet. And Judas is thinking, man, I could have had that money in my bag. Man, a year's wage in my bag. I could have pilfered. How much I could have got out of that? Can you imagine the days Judas go by, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, we're out of money. Well, it just goes. You know how money goes. It just goes. Can you imagine stealing out of the bag of that group of 12? He's stealing the money. I don't know. He went off by himself, had a big old lunch, and came back. Oh, I know we're a little hungry. Oh, man, I'm a little hungry too. Just the lie. How many know that lying takes a lot of work to remember the lie you told? That's what I mean. The Bible says he rebukes him. And go to the next scripture. Look at this. For this could have been sold. I want you to notice what happens. This incident, it's like the breaking point in Judas. Here is the story in Matthew. Notice the next story. This could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware, said, what do you trouble the woman? Verse 11. For you always have the poor with you, verse 12. In pouring this ointment, she's done it, verse 13. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed, next verse. Go on the next one. Next verse. Then one of the 12, now go back, verse 14, real quick. Then one of the 12 whose name was Judas Iscariot, notice, after verse 13, about the pouring and the extravagant love, and all he's thinking about, man, I could have had that money in the bag, and I could have, that give me a much to steal from. After that story, the Bible says, he left that group. Next story. He went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver him to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now I want you to get this. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. When they go up to that upper room to have Passover and communion, and Jesus is washing their feet, Judas Iscariot has 30 pieces of silver in his bag. He didn't have banks back then. They're on the road. They're moving. Judas Iscariot has 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. That was, in Exodus, that's the price of a slave. It wasn't a great amount. It was a price paid for a slave. In his pocket, when Jesus is kneeling down and washing his feet, he knows that in his pocket is 30 pieces of silver. After he said these things, he was troubled in his spirit. First day of unleavened bread, the disciples came and said, "Where do you want us to prepare you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go in the city and certain men." Next verse. And disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. It was evening. He reclined at the table with the 12. And he said as he was eating, "Truly I say to you, one of you." I mean, he's sitting. And you got to get this. You saw the picture of Leonardo da Vinci, the Last Supper. That's not really the way it was. They don't sit at a table sitting like we do. They reclined. It says that they reclined at the table. And that means they had these sofas, and they had this like a U-shaped, many times a U-shaped table. And they would recline, and your feet would be out. The next person to you, their head would be right here on your chest. And then the next person, their head would be on their chest. And that's the way you'd be around. And your head would be on somebody else's chest, unless you were the first, or, you know, the last one. And that's how you ate. You ate reclining. They ate in reclining manner. And so my head would be at this person's chest, and their head would be at my chest. And when you read the story, many believe, and I believe also, it appears that John was on the right. John was sitting here with his head on the heart or the bosom of the Lord, on the chest of Jesus. That's how he was sitting. But to the left, which was always in that day the place of honor to the person you were with, to the left was none other than Judas Iscariot. Because always when there was one of the customs you did, you always dipped a piece of bread in honor in that day in that Eastern culture. You dipped a piece of meat or a piece of bread in the soup, and you handed it, and you handed it always to the person to your left, or you gave them to eat, and that's the only one you could reach because the one next to you. And the Bible says he did that to Judas Iscariot. Can you imagine? Probably the 30 pieces of silver might have been leaning up against the Lord at the moment. Can you imagine? The Bible says one of you will betray me. One of you is going to betray me. And I can imagine as Judas is sitting there, all that took place, the Last Supper. And you've got to remember this. Jesus, look at John chapter 13. Let's read that one too. Go to the next scripture. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled of spirit. He said, "Truly, I said, one of you will betray me." Look at the next verse. Disciple looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table close to Jesus. So Simon motioned to him and asked Jesus whose he's talking about. Peter's down the line. He may have been next to John with his head. And he leaned up and said, "John, ask him who." And John leans his head back. "Jesus, who are you talking about?" Next verse. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "Is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it?" So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. The Bible said, look next verse 27. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him, and Jesus said, "What you are going to do, do quickly." I cannot but imagine as he got up from that table, the 30 pieces of silver clanging together. In Arab culture, when you eat with somebody, it's taken for granted, it's known. That means, "I will not harm you, and I will not betray you." That's I can't go into all the cultural of the day, but that's what it means. When a place of honor, when a person dipped a piece of bread and you took it, that was literally meant. Listen, Jesus continued to reach out, to warn, to say one of you, to talk, to parables. He never gave up on Judas. He warned him. He told him it'd been better for that man never to have been born. He warned him time after time. And he had the opportunity. You know what? The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is? It's not a one-time act. It is a hardening of your conscience until you have seared your conscience. And let me tell you something. I believe that Judas had seared his conscience. You know, your conscience is so valuable. That's why I tell you, even the little things, it's the little foxes, it's the little things that come to destroy your conscience. And the blasphemy is when it doesn't bother you anymore to do what you're doing. I don't want to ever get to that place where these things don't bother me. I don't want to get to the place where I, like Jeremiah said, they don't even know how to blush anymore. How many want to be able to blush? I want to be able to blush. I don't want to get so, that don't bother me no more. What ought to bother you? And the Bible says he came to the place where when they all, one translation says, they all begin to say, is it I, Lord? Is it I? And Judas among them with 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. Having already met with the Sanhedrin, already looking for opportunity, he played the game, the hypocrite, so well. He said along with the rest of them, is it I, Lord? Searing of your conscience to that place. And the Bible says Satan entered him. Look at verse 30. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and everybody say it was night. Of which there will never be a sunrise for that man. You know, pilots tell us that when they're flying over the Atlantic or Pacific or over some other body of water, there's a point where you reach the halfway point. And they call it the point of no return. It's a point when it's as far to go on as it is to go back. And Judas reached that point someplace in his life. He reached that place and he had reached that place and crossed over. And the Bible says, listen, what the Lord did. There were two meals that night. There was the Passover meal, and there was the Lord's Supper. And Jesus takes the Passover meal with him, Judas Iscariot. But it's at the end of that Passover meal, he dips the morsel, gives it to him. One last outreach of an act of friendship. And when he looks in his eyes, he knows there's no turning. He says, the Bible says at that moment, Satan entered into him. And he said to him, what you do quickly. And he got up and he had him removed because he was not going to allow a devil to take of the Lord's Supper. He has been fenced and always will be fenced because what we do this morning is not just some ceremony. It can bring life or death to you. It can bring health or sickness to you. Because listen, Paul himself fenced the Lord's Supper. We call it fenced. It's drawing a fence that the Lord's Supper is not for whosoever will. No. That's salvation. But the Lord's Supper is not for whosoever will may take it. I don't care what denomination gives it. If the person taking it is taking it an unworthily manner, my Bible says he drinks judgment and eats judgment unto himself. And Jesus says, leave Judas. And Judas gets up, and guess where he goes? He heads out of that upper room, right toward the Sanhedrin, right toward the enemies of the Lord. When Jesus instituted what we're about to take this morning, one of his closest companions was meeting and betraying him behind this. That's why it was always known as the night that he was betrayed. And when he removed the betrayer out of the midst, at this point, Peter had not denied him yet. Peter had not for survival. And it was a totally different. Here's Judas, little by little, had been doing this. But Peter does it off emotions of survival. And it's a whole different scenario. And the Bible says it's in that moment that Jesus then institutes the Lord's Supper. He's there. He's cleared. He's got him away. In fact, Matthew chapter 26, I've got that one. Look at this. Matthew 26. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed the third time and sang the same words again. And then he came, the disciples said, sleep and take your rest and see the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See my betrayer. Notice how much this was a thought in him because of the wound. My betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I will kiss, hypocrite to the last. Because that was always a sign of friendship, always a sign of love, always a sign, I love you. And he gave him a kiss. Said, the one I kiss is a man, seize him. When he came up to Jesus, at once he said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. Next scripture. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Notice the hurt. Jesus was not a stoic. He felt everything. He wouldn't take the drink on the cross because he didn't want to deaden the pain. He felt the pain. He felt it all. And the Bible says he looks him eyeball. And last thing he says, would you listen? Jesus said to him, listen to this one. Friend. Everybody say friend. At the very end, he's still reaching one more time. And the last words he ever said to this man was, everybody say friend one more time. He said, he didn't say enemy. He didn't say devil. He said, friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and they seized him and they put him in. You know, the last word he ever said was his friend. And when you read about the life of Judas, I won't go into it, but he never had a sunrise. The money that had been so important to him now was thrown back into the temple to the priest who wouldn't do anything with it. And it wasn't so much Judas was sorry for what he had done, but, and I won't go into all the ands, if, or buts, but I believe he reached that place and crossed over that deadline and he'd gone beyond the point of no return and he committed suicide. And they bought the field. You read the story. They bought the same field he committed suicide in. It became the Potter's Field and where they buried strangers to this day. But betraying does not need to end in death. Because, listen, there is no sin unforgivable until you come to unpardonable sin. I won't go into all that. But listen, I believe with all my heart that if you're here this morning and your heart is troubling you at all, that means you have not gone too far. Even if you care about it, you've not gone too far. And Peter betrayed him with Judas that night. But his was different. He did it out of survival. He did it out of weakness of the flesh. I believe it was demonically inspired. I believe all that stuff. And the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. And Peter too betrayed him. But listen, he came back. And one of the keys is this. If you have betrayed the Lord, you can come back. If you betrayed him, you can come back and say, Lord, forgive me. And Peter on that beach, when Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? I know you betrayed me I know you're lumped with Judas right now, but do you love me? And the third one, he said, I'm going to trust you again. You feed my sheep. I want you to notice this in 1 Corinthians 11. I want the men to get ready, if you would. We're going to take communion together. I want the men to come on, if you would. If you go to Saratoga, what is it in New York? Saratoga. Is it Saratoga? Is that what it is? Not Sarasota, but Saratoga. It's a battlefield. What's one of the ancient battlefields? One of the battlefields from Revolutionary War. Saratoga. And on Saratoga, you'll see they have a great statue there, one of the great battles of Revolutionary War. And if you look, they have at the base of that great monument, they have four pedestals. And it was the four generals or leaders of that battle. Some of the Revolutionary War. And one of them is Horatio somebody. I forgot the three of them. But on the fourth one, It's empty. There's a bus not there. And when you look at it, there's been a bus removed. And the history was this. It was one of the greatest generals of the Revolutionary War. He was a great general. He won battle after battle. In fact, he was shot twice through the legs. He took one fort after another. I mean, you ought to see, he was one of the greatest revolutionary generals that we ever had. But he was removed because of one thing. He was General Arnold. Because into the war, at some point, he felt cheated. He didn't get a promotion he wanted. And so he decided, for about equivalent of $1 million today, to turn over one of the forts and to have the enemy take it. And he forever went down in history as known as Benedict Arnold, as one of the greatest betrayers in our life. And you know what the Bible says in heaven, that the new Jerusalem we're all going to see one day, that has 12 huge columns. And on each one of those is written the 12 names of the apostles of the Lord. But one of them is going to have it. Yes, when you walk it, you'll never see the name Judas Iscariot anywhere around there. But you know whose name you will see? You'll see Peter's name on one of those. Did he betray? Absolutely. Did he deny? Absolutely. But you know what? You can, as long as there is a God, you can come back. And here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pass out the juice only to start with. I want only the juice passed out. We're going to start with the juice. We're going to do a little bit different this morning. I want the juice passed out. You guys, come on. And I want you to notice what he did. Whoever, therefore, notice what Paul does. Paul fences this table right now. Notice what he does. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy, not if you're worthy, not it's talking about not that you're worthy, but an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then and so eat of the bread and drink. Examine yourself first. Go ahead, next scripture. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we will not be judged. Now go to the next scripture. Let me show you this. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed. You don't have the next scripture? Did I put that in there? I had one more scripture I wanted to do. Let me see if I've got it here. Let me see which one it is. I'll tell you that in just a moment. Now this morning, here's what I want you to do. Before we take the juice, I want the musicians to come on back up. Would you guys? Yeah. Can you guys go ahead and let's pray first, then we're going to pass it out. I want the musicians to come over praying, if y'all would. You guys come on up, and here's, I want you to hold this cup when you receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray over this juice. And Lord, before we ever partake of it, Lord, we ask as disciples, is it I? Lord, I want to know in my heart that I am not betraying you, that I am faithful. And I don't want to play a hypocrite and just take it along with everybody else. If I cannot, then I will not. But this morning, Lord, I come against false guilt, but Lord, I stand up with true guilt. That if there is a thing right now, Lord, we cleanse our hearts. I pray over this juice in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody say amen this morning. Amen. Go ahead and pass it out. Here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to get ready, and I want you to while the juice is coming your way, I want you to prepare your heart. And I want you to say, Lord, 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 examine me. Show me my heart, Lord. And if you don't feel like you ought to take it, let just pass it on by. Let it go. I've had to, in some communion services, not take the communion. Because I had an attitude. I had a problem. I had something I felt like I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to take communion today. But you know what? Right now, the Lord is here like Peter. And he brought him back and he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. And this morning, if there's something you can examine, isn't it great that you can examine yourself and you can ask forgiveness and you can be cleansed right now, forgiven, and you have the right to the Lord's Supper today. You have the right. The Lord can forgive. The Lord will, if you ask, say, Lord, help me overcome. Lord, I will not. Lord, I give my heart to you this morning. I will not betray you again in that situation. In that, I will honor you. I will not give it. And I'll stand there. And this morning when the Lord comes, I want to do an old song that we hadn't done in a long time. And when we get to the chorus, I want everybody to build up. That's the big build up time of Forever I Will Love You. I mean, the part, I longed to know of all you ways. Build up on that, gang, if you would. But there's an old song. Give me the pulpit mic, if you would, Dale. And let me, so they can have me, they can hear me back here. This song says, Forever I Will Love You, Lord. Forever I will serve you. Forever I am yours, O Lord. I will not turn back. I long to know of all your ways while in your presence all my days. My love, my life are yours always. And I will not turn back. Go ahead and bring the lights down out there if you would. And I want you to just get along with the Lord. And sing this with us, would you? Forever I will love you, Lord. Forever I will serve you, Lord. Forever I am yours, O Lord. And I will not turn back. While in your presence all my days, my love, my life are yours always, and I will not turn back. Everybody stand up today, would you? Come on. Forever I will love you, Lord. Forever I will serve you, Lord. Forever I am yours, O Lord. Come on, I will not. And I will not turn back. I love to know of all your ways. While in your presence, take the juice that's in your hand. I want you to take this right now. And I want you to make that commitment in your heart, anew and fresh. Say, Lord, I will love you forever. Musicians have it. Y'all have it.
Come serve them if they haven't. You guys, everybody has it? Okay, I want everybody to take it. And I want you to do this right now. I want you to take this, and I want that song. I want you to make that commitment. Lord, forever I will love you. Forever I will serve you. He might be saying to you, he might be laser beaming you right now. Say, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And if he is, then answer him. And you'll do like Peter, Lord, you know everything. You know my heart. You know I want to, Lord. You know where I failed. You know what I've done. But Lord, this morning I ask you, forgive me, cleanse me afresh and new. And I want to be one known that I was faithful to you. I do not want to betray you in my life, my words, my actions, what I do at home, what I do at school or at work. I want to be faithful to you. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, forgive us, cleanse us. And this morning, Lord, we take this cup. And the night that he was betrayed, he took the cup. And Lord, right now, we want you to know in this house, we are faithful to you. And we will stay faithful to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, partake of the cup this morning. Jesus. I long to know of all your ways. Well, in your presence all my days. My love, my life are yours always. And I will not turn back. I long to know of all your ways. While in your presence, oh. Here's what we're going to do with the bread. We're going to have the bread on all the tables, and you're going to go get the bread this morning. But here's what the bread is going to represent. The Bible says that they received judgment because they did not discern the Lord's body. And that's chapter 12. In chapter 13, Paul begins to write about the body. And he talks about that we are individually the body of the Lord. In fact, put those up. Would you get, go ahead and put them. It says, that there be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And Paul wrote that about, he said in the commandments, he said, you know what? He said, they brought judgment unto themselves because they did not discern the Lord's body. Let me, we're going to end with this morning. Here's how we're going to end. I want you to go get the bread, and as you break it, I want you to think about the body of the Lord this morning. Now, we are, everybody say, we are his body. Many of you in small groups this morning, you're going to hear stuff that people's going to say and share. You know, one of the greatest attributes you'll ever have is to honor those that's in your life and those that God has put in small groups with you. And even if it's at work, and you don't talk behind their back, you don't go in the car and say, well, you hear what so-and-so said, you know what you do is you honor them. You just honor them. You honor them. You honor. One of the greatest qualities that you'll ever have in your life is when you learn honor. You honor the king. You honor Barack. You honor the king. You don't agree. You know, all that stuff. You take stands. You understand. But you honor those in authority. You honor them. In fact, in the book of Jude, the book of Jude, his name really was Judas. He didn't want it. He shortened his name to Jude. It's called the book of Jude. But in there, he talks about, he says, there are some that blaspheme and they even talk, they like brute beasts. They even talk about the devil in such inflammatory ways. He said, all the Lord says is the Lord rebuke you. What you learn to do, you learn about honor. You honor positions, you honor what the Lord has placed in position, you honor that, and you let Lord, the judgment belongs to the Lord, and you honor that, and you honor each other, and you're faithful, and you don't betray. And this morning I want to do this. I want to end our communion time because it had, for centuries in the early church, it had to do about betrayal. When they took communion, it was about the night he was betrayed. It always had to do with betrayal. And there's a song we do, let us grant each other mercy. And we're going to do this song. Well, I'm going to ask you to do this. Go get the bread. And then would you do this? Would you just hug somebody, give somebody a handshake or hug them? And while we're doing this song and you're coming at your, you do that, would you just look at somebody and tell them, I'll never betray you? I'm making a commitment in my life. I will never betray you. Just say that to somebody. And the Bible tells me that I'm discerning the Lord's body, that I honor you, that I'm not going to walk in betrayal. I'm not going to walk in betraying my brother, my sister. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be faithful to them. One of the things we've done as pastors, we get together for many, many years now. We honor each other. We had a pastor in the back here. He used to pastor at Parkview Baptist Church. And now he's got his own church going. He told me, we just met him back, and his child was playing on the teams back here. He came and said, you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and I told him I knew about you. Listen, he said, I knew you. And he heard something. He said, oh, no, that's not true. I know him. Come on, somebody. And honor each other. I was with somebody one time, and they were making a big dig at Larry to talk to him. I said, that's not true. I know Larry. I know his heart. I said, that's not true. It's not true. And so what happens is you honor each other. You just honor them. So this morning you take the bread. Father, we just take this bread in our hands. Lord, we thank you. I want you to give me a piece of bread. Let me get a piece here. I want you to take the bread that you got right here. And I want you to, you're going to do it in just a minute, but Steph, when you have this bread, I want you to break it. And I'm going to do it first, and I'm just going to. And you see this right here? Listen, I'll make my commitment to you as a church. I'll never dishonor this church. You'll never read in the paper, I'm in out here doing this and doing that and that. I just make this commitment. I love you more than I love myself. And I've made a commitment in my heart. I'm not going to do that. I made a commitment to my wife. She's mine. I'll never betray her. She's mine. I've made a commitment in my heart. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to betray. I'm going to honor the body. I'm going to discern the body of Christ. I'm going to honor it. And so, Father, we ask you, we pray over this bread this morning. And we love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name. Would you do that right now? We sing this song. Let us grant each other mercy. We see. And you don't have to. With. You didn't get that music? Let us, just give me a C. All I need is a C. Give me a chord. Give me a C chord. Let us grant each other mercy and be lavish with our love. Let's be patient with the struggles that we strive to rise above. Let us guard each person's hopes and dreams as if they were our own, while we're on our separate journeys toward the Father's throne. Come on, do that now. Take the bread. Let us grant each other mercy and be lavish with. Come on. Come on. Let's be patient. Let's be patient with the struggles that we strive to rise above. God, each person's hopes and dreams as if they were our own, while we're on our separate journeys. Come on, toward the Father. Come on, musicians, play good mouth. Come on, let's go. Come on, everybody, do it with us. Let us grant each other. Come on, grant it. Come on, lavish. Lavish with thy love. Let patient with the struggles that we all strive to rise above. Let us guard person's hopes and dreams toward the Father's throne.
Toward.
Come on, one more time. Now lift your hands and just say, I'm going to do it, Lord.
Let us grant each other mercy and be lavish with our love. Let's be patient with the struggles
that we strive to rise above.
Let us guard each person's hopes and the Father.
Give him a great clap offering this morning. Would you do that with me? Come on. That night, close your eyes, that night will ever be known as the night in which he was betrayed. But we make, Lord, this communion night, we make it a day, Lord, we make with our hearts. We will not betray you and will not betray your body. But Lord, we'll walk in integrity of heart and honoring each other, and we will honor God. Everybody said amen. Let's give him one more great clap offering. Would you do that? Turn around, hug somebody. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. Go give somebody a good hug. Say, I love you in the name of the Lord.